The Root Masters by Andrew McGibbon. Episode 2, Don't Be Afraid.
Please, you must understand. It's very urgent. I'm in a terrible way.
But you're not a regular patient. We have no record of you, Frau...
Braun. Frau Hildegard Braun.
Well, Frau Braun, why don't you take a seat and I'll go and have a word with Sigmund. But he's not inclined to take new patients without a recommendation first.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Hildegard, you've got to let me out of this flask. I'm going to put my cork in here.
The process of transmutation cannot begin until we are in the same room as Sigmund Freud, so you'll just have to hold on, my darling.
But I haven't been since we left the Sistine Chapel, and I'm bursting now.
My sweet liquid moron, you cannot be bursting. You haven't got anything to burst. You're simply a tube of plasma, a moist voice in a sealed vial.
Well, why didn't they design it like a soda siphon? At least when I'm desperate, I could squirt off into a vodka.
Shh!
Don't say that. You make me want to go even more.
Quiet.
He's very busy. He cannot see you today. You will have to make an appointment.
Oh, but please, you must understand. My condition is critical. I've got to see Dr. Freud immediately.
And I've got to go for a slam.
Who said that?
You can hear him, too. You see, there's a person inside of me trying to get out. Please help me.
Look, you wrinkly old bag. How would you like me to leave a permanent stain on your Wilton?
Please help. Get him out of me.
Sigmund, I think you had better have a look at this woman.
Come in, please.
Quickly. Go into his study.
Thank you.
About bloody time, too.
Sigmund? Sigmund? Is everything all right? Sigmund, what's happening in there?
Well, Frau Braun, come back again after lunch and we'll continue the treatment.
Yes, Dr. Freud, and thank you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I never thought transference could be so much fun.
Sigmund, what happened in there?
I opened the window and a gust of wind blew off some of my knickknacks.
But Sigmund, you never opened the windows in your study.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to strike out against tradition, Betty.
I'm Martha, your wife. Who is Betty?
Who the devil are you? And what do you call that?
Do you not recognize Herr Grubermann, Sigmund? He's one of your patients, and that is his zither.
You came thither to dither with your zither, did you? Well, I'll be back to see you later, Herr Grubermann.
Gott in Himmel, Lord.
Conductor?
Yes, Bernie?
Where are we going?
I'm not sure. The interpolator will tell us something in due course.
Where are we going?
I've just told you, Bernie, I'm not sure yet.
Where are we going?
Bernie, what is wrong with you? Why are you asking me the same question?
Where are we going?
Bernie, have you
got... Where are we going? Where are we going?
Don't give me that.
Where are we going?
I've told you before about tinkering with the controls of a translator.
Where
you switch in the subject loop discharge setting, it can be impossible to get it to stop.
Where are we going? It might be important for you to hunt down Raymond and Hildegard, Conductor, but you promised to take me home as soon as we'd finished restoring the Sistine Chapel.
Where are we going?
I'm sorry, I'm bored and fed up.
Well, that may be so, Bernie.
Where are we going?
Being bored doesn't mean you can jam me up a vital piece of...
Where are we going?
Ah, equipment. There.
Where are we going?
Oh, bugger.
Look, Conductor, I want to go home. I'm no hero. I'm not built to save the universe from cultural thieves, and I don't want to be a root master like you.
I'm sorry, Bernie, what they're doing is wrong. Raymond and Hildegard are unraveling the richness of your civilization and perforating the soft flesh of your culture with every act of larceny. A few pricks here and there might not add up to much. But soon there's prick after prick after prick. And finally, those little pricks tear the flesh apart. Oh, dear. Now the translator's talking in poodle.
No, let's turn on the other translator and see what this one's saying.
Bernie, for heaven's sake.
I want to go for a walk. I want to go for a walk.
Wow, that's cool. I can talk to the animals.
I want to eat. There's a bitch over there. That's a bitch, that is. I like
that. Bernie, will you get this thing off
me? I like that bitch.
It's cocking itself against my leg.
You must be on heat, Conductor. You make a lovely
couple. It's not designed to try and copulate with me. It's a translator. Get down.
Get down.
Oh, dear, my master's angry. I'm scared I might do a poo. I hope he doesn't rub my nose in it. Doesn't anyone want to smell my bottom?
Give me that. That's for this one. Now, Bernie, if you're bored, why don't you watch a quasi-dimensional thought lozenge?
You what?
It's like your VHS video.
Great idea. There's a blockbuster at the end of my road. You can drop me off. Ah, what's all this about? A comprehensive history of the penile.
That's pronounced penie.
Who or what are the penile?
The penie, Bernie. Why did you watch it?
Hi, my name's Simon Bates. Quasi-dimensional thought lozenge piracy is a crime. Before viewing, check underneath the 5D projected fractalgram and make sure your quasi-dimensional thought lozenge has an unbroken white plastic bit.
Oh, let's spool past this. It's a copy anyway.
So, Hildegard, here we are, eh? Beautiful Vienna. We've a lot to do this morning. I won't feel properly dressed until I've visited Loden Plankel's, the traditional Austrian clothing store, and bought myself a Tyrolean dirndl. They're all the rage.
And tell me, my soft and fluffy cretin, have you any idea what a dirndl is?
No, but I understand they're all the rage.
A dirndl is a skirt, you irrepressible idiot.
Oh, well, perhaps I could wear it as a wrap, then.
We are not in Vienna to buy clothes. We're here because Sigmund Freud is putting the finishing touches to one of his most significant and revolutionary papers. He delivers it to a select group of disciples sometime this evening. I've decided it'll make an excellent exhibit at the Trianum Institute, and therefore I want to get my hands on it before Viennese society does.
No, but I'd plan to go on the Ferris wheel at the Prater Park. It's only just opened. I want to feel the wind blowing up my dandel.
When we've got what we came for, then I'll take you for a ride on the Ferris wheel.
You know, Hildegard, it's hard to find the words to say what you mean to me.
How about my entire existence and everything I've ever done or ever will do?
Well, that's more words than I'd have used.
Excuse me, Sigmund. It's really you.
What? Yes, it's me. I'm sorry, but I don't know your name.
I'm Jung.
Really? Well, you're no spring chicken from where I'm sitting.
No, I'm Carl Gustav Jung.
Of course you are. Forgive me. Oh, and have you met my sweet, sexy little...
I am Hildegard Braun, a new patient of Dr. Freud's.
Pleased to make your acquaintance, Frau Braun. Sigmund, are we not having a meeting of the circle tonight?
Say yes.
Say yes. Yes. In fact, anyone who doesn't come is a square.
Of course they are, Sigmund. One of your jokes. See you tonight, then. It's not like Sigmund to socialize with his clients. He's acting very strangely.
How these mysterious gifts are bestowed is and remains unknown.
I can't believe what this video's telling me.
I thought you might find it interesting.
It's the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. According to this, far into the future, the human male sexual organ becomes sentient and aware, breaking off from its male host of a billion years.
Well, most women will tell you it's always had a mind of its own anyway.
These detached organs became capable of reproduction themselves and started to form peaceful communities. Their generous and compliant nature made them an easy target, however. Soon they were enslaved to nations of unscrupulous women and eunuchs, who would keep whole nests of peni imprisoned under their beds purely for their own pleasure.
You bought this in a sex shop, didn't you, conductor?
Actually, I did, but not what you'd understand.
With their rights increasingly threatened, some of the communities became reactionary and formed militias, marshalling themselves under the banner Pudenders of the Faith. In the battle that followed, size mattered, and given that most average in length no more than 6 inches in height, even when tumescent, the peni were no match for the combined aggression of women and youths.
They were terrible times,
Shh! Watching.
The peni formed temporary attachments to some of the disaffected male drones, or castros, as they'd become known. See figure 2. Oh yes, that's clever. These attachments proved to be mutually beneficial. For the first time in eons, man and organ enjoyed real power again, with one important difference. Should the host male or female become too overbearing and aggressive, then the organ could detach itself quite readily and even take sides in an argument. The power it held was such that a term invented by Sigmund Freud in the 19th century could now be applied with a brand new definition. Penis envy.
Sorry, Bernie. You'll have to watch the rest of this another time.
Well, I was really enjoying that.
Maybe so, but the interpolator picked up another deviation in the temporal flux, which can only be the work of Raymond.
If this interpolator is such a great piece of technology, why can't it do two things at once?
True, the interpolator is a very complicated and highly advanced piece of equipment. Unfortunately, there's only one socket. Run your revision, interpolator.
Welcome to Psychoanalysis. Just a minute.
Sigmund Freud, one of our most experienced members. You have 1 minute to tell us about your childhood.
When I was young, I went to the fun fair at the Greater Park in Vienna with my mummy, and I rode on the big wheel and held hand with my mother.
A challenge from Carl Gustav Jung.
Mother fixation.
Yes, you did. I'd rather hear that you did. Go on. Just a tad too much. So, a great challenge. And Carl Gustav, continue to tell us about your childhood.
I too went to the Greater Park and went on to the inflatable ego when I fell onto my body.
Sigmund Freud, a challenge.
Anal retention.
Bernie, I'm confused. This means nothing to me.
Vienna. Prater Park, tell your driver to take us to Prater Park.
What did you say?
I said tell your driver to take us to Prater Park.
Why did you have to mention his name?
Whose name?
Don't make me say it.
What, the driver?
So, me own office. I've always wanted me own office. Just a shame it's someone else's. What does this do? It must be a budgie sharpener. Well, what would Sigmund Freud be doing now? Oh, I know. Betty, could I have my next patient, please? Betty, could you show my next patient in, please?
Sigmund, there is no one here by that name. I told you before, this is your wife, Martha. Now do you understand?
Of course I do, Martha. Now, when Betty gets back, could you get her to show me in my next patient, please?
Well, I have Frau...
Jawohl, Hitler. Carla Hitler.
Frau Hitler waiting. She's very worried about the disruptive behavior of her little boy, Adolf. She says it's urgent. Then I've got Herr Gruberman, the zither player.
Ooh, a zither player. I tell you what, Betty, tell Frau Hitler to up little Adolf's dosage of gripe water and send him on an assertiveness course. That should iron out any antisocial tendencies. Now send in the zither player. Herr Gruberman, come in. I see you've brought your... what remains of your instrument with you. Why don't you put it over there? Now, I would have to say that your repressed libido has been directed toward your buzzer. Your zither. Is that what I mean? Oh, excuse me, Herr Gruberman. Yes, Betty?
It's Martha here. That is my name, Sigmund. Frau Hildegard Bronn has arrived, and she's very agitated.
You'd better send her in, Betty.
It's Martha, Sigmund.
I thought you told me it was Hildegard. I'm sorry, Herr Gruberman, but we'll have to continue this another time.
Und du hast ihm eine Zither in den Schrank, im Fall das mein kaputt geht.
I keep a spare zither in the cupboard for you to use in times of crisis. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course it is. Well, look after this one. You can take it to the Volksplater and busk with it if you like, but I want 30% of anything you make. And try and bring it back in one piece, will you?
Yeah, danke.
Well, Raymond, what do you think?
Oh, my word, Hildegard, you do look fetching in that lederhosen.
You can look, but you can't touch.
Oh, don't get me all steamed up and excited, Hildegard. I've had quite a session of it already. Megalomanic tendencies, broken zithers, someone called Betty who claims she's my wife, Martha.
She is your wife, Martha. Freud is a happily married man, you cosmic imbecile.
Well, if she's my Martha, where's my father? Get it?
I also brought a ball whip.
So I see. It compliments the rest of your outfit, though maybe it should dangle off the hip a bit more.
My sugar-coated astral jellyfish, I know you find it hard, but please try and hold on to the rail. In less than 2 hours, all 6 members of Freud's inner circle will assemble here in his study.
Oh, that's going to be awkward. There's only one chair and a couch. I'd better have a word with Betty.
I told you her name is Martha, and the seating is not important.
But I think...
No,
should...
Raymond.
No, but really...
I said no tonight. Freud will read extracts from his paper on telepathy and telekinesis. We have to find it.
Then what?
Then we can have some fun, Raymond.
Oh, I do like having fun with you. It doesn't involve that whip by any chance.
Why, my sweetheart, would you like it to?
Oh, just stop it, Hildegard.
Yes, well, the kind of fun I'm thinking of will give us more than just instant pleasure, my love. Tonight, You and I will denude Sigmund Freud of his most controversial work. Ooh. In fact, before the evening is over, he will have become the laughing stock of Vienna, and his reputation will be in tatters. And I shall have his greatest ever work to put on display. Yes. Now, my feet are killing me, Raymond. Take off my boots if you know what's good for you.
But I haven't got them on this time.
Ah, here we are, Bernie. We've arrived in Vienna.
Here, shall we go for a walk in the cold air?
But Bernie, we haven't got time for that. And the interpolator screen's gone all fuzzy. Oh, the image has gone.
Oh, you do know it, then.
Now, Bernie, this time I'm confident that the temporal blenders will disguise the time bus in a manner discreet to its location.
We're pulling up to the funfair, conductor. Hey, conductor, why are we vibrating?
Why don't you have a look outside? I'll open the door for you.
I'll be happy to. I'm beginning to feel a bit sick anyway.
And what can you see, Bernie? Have the temporal blenders provided us with appropriate camouflage?
No. A bouncy castle, complete with compressor.
Oh, bugger. Well, at least it's got the fairground bit right.
And it explains why we're vibrating.
And then, nevertheless, we have a problem. The interpolator has directed the time bus to Vienna for a reason. But I still have no idea why we are here or who Raymond is occupying. Here you are, Bernie. The portable interpolator should help us to locate Raymond. Take the transient isolation skirt as well, in case we need to reverse time. Oh, and don't forget your translator, Bernie.
Oh, thank you. It's so important to travel light.
Bernie, look out!
I don't pack you, Nick Alkohend, your guest. You're blue to hunt.
I didn't see you. I'm sorry.
Ich bin blind aber hier Kinder hab doch Augen. So warum braucht ihr sie nicht?
Turn on your translator, Bernie.
It's still playing up, conductor.
Wait a minute. The portable interpolator is detecting minute traces of an organic matter that can only belong to Raymond. It's all over this man's instrument. Who gave you this zither? Bernie, turn that thing off. Use my translator. Who gave you this zither?
If you will stop barking at me like a dog, I will tell you. It was given to me by Herr Sigmund Freud. I am one of his patients. So I don't know for how much longer, now that I have broken his zither.
His patient, eh? Please excuse me. I am the conductor, and this is my friend Bernie.
Ah, fellow musicians. You must be looking for the music, Brian. I can take you there. It's not far.
We're not musicians, but... Well, maybe you can help us anyway.
Dandy floss, sir.
Has Dr. Freud looked in any way different to you lately?
How would I know? I'm as blind as a spent hamster. But he has a new patient who he seems very taken with at the moment. A woman with a chilling and distinctive voice.
Hildegard Braun?
Yeah, that's it. For Hildegard Braun. You know her?
Oh, yes, we know her. Listen, Herr...
Herr Grubermann?
Herr Grubermann. Can you take us to Sigmund Freud?
Of course. It was he who told me to come here, to Freud Park. He says if I make any money busking, he was to have 30%.
Raymond.
Hildegard, I've looked right through this bookcase. There's no sign of his paper.
But it must be here somewhere.
Why is it so important, Hildegard?
Because, my darling spongiform jello head, Freud will reveal this evening that the human brain possesses the capacity to transfer thoughts from one mind to another, and the power even to move objects using a hidden part of the subconscious alone.
Ah, so you mean I could put the idea in someone's mind to go to the cake shop and buy me a slice of Fackertort. That's a poppy seed crust pastry with cream cheese. Then, whilst they're having a coffee, I can use my mind to bring the Fackertort.
What are you talking about?
It's a poppy seed crust pastry with cream cheese. To the study, without the need for anyone to carry it back. That's fantastic, Hildegard. It'll revolutionize the cake industry.
Just find the paper, Raymond.
Whatever you say, sexy.
Idiot.
I must say, Herr Grubermann, for a man who cannot see, you move at great speed through these streets.
I've been blind a while now, but according to Sigmund, I can see more clearly than anyone with eyes. Ouch!
Why should Sigmund Freud express such an interest in you? His concern is psychopathology, not ophthalmology.
I came to him because I thought he might be able to help me. You see, sometimes I can hear what people are saying, even when they are not speaking.
You're telepathic, that's all. Even the sight had learned to develop some form of it during the early part of the 20th century. Wait a minute. That's it. That's why Raymond and Hildegard are here.
Well, Freud had prepared a paper based on his theory that the human subconscious possessed the capacity to transfer thought from one mind to another, and that the same power, correctly marshalled, could result in telekinesis.
I knew you were going to say that.
In English, conductor?
Mind over matter, Bernie. Raymond has occupied the body of Sigmund Freud. Hildegard wants that paper. Together, they will destroy Freud's reputation and put back the study of telepathy thousands of years if we don't stop them.
He lives at 19 Begat.
Where does he live, Herr Grubman? Oh, God, this telepathy is really getting on my nerves.
I recognize the pavement. We aren't far away now. It's time for me to play my zither.
This is hardly the time for music.
He's not playing it for pleasure, Bernie. Herr Grubman uses the zither like a submarine uses sonar, don't you?
No. I discovered I can earn 10 shillings an hour on a good night. Thank you.
Oh.
Hugger off your smart ash of your minstrel. What does that mean, conductor?
Ah. Yes. Bernie?
Anymore. I don't invite them.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, attention, please.
I'd like to start by saying thank you for coming. I know you've all paid good money to be here tonight, and you can bet your life that me and my glamorous star pupil, Hildegard, will deliver a floor show to remember. Okay, let's not waste any more time. Hildegard, introduce me to tonight's first volunteer.
Well, Siggy. Number one, Carl Gustav Jung, 28, you come from Switzerland, you're married with three children and work as a psychiatrist. Your hobbies are psychoanalysis and birdwatching.
Carl, welcome to the show. Are you nervous?
Sigmund, what is this? What are you doing?
Well, don't worry, Carl. You take the seat at the end there. Who's next, Hildegard?
Welcome, volunteer number two, Joseph Breuer. You're married and live here in Vienna. You work as a clinical psychologist and like painting.
Joseph, you won't regret volunteering. Have you been hypnotized before?
Sigmund, I have known you many years and have supported the most outlandish of your theories, but what on earth is this nonsense?
I'll take that as a no, then. Go and sit next to Carl. Hildegard, who's next?
Number three, Hans Dilgemann.
I can only assume he's acting out some bizarre psychosexual projection as a model to illustrate an aspect of his theory of the unconscious. However you look at it, this must be a piece of genius.
And that, my friend, is a bird piece of ass.
Who's next, Hildegard?
Here we are. This is where Sigmund Freud lives.
Excellent. Follow me, everyone.
And finally, Sigmund, meet volunteer number six, Wilhelm Fleiss. He works as a physician and numerologist. And his favorite color is green.
Hey, Wilhelm, are you Fleiss done up?
Bitte?
Yeah, just sit down, will you? Now, I want you all to look at me. Look into my eyes.
Oh, this is ridiculous. How much further up these stairs do we have to go?
I don't know why they're going up them. Freud lives on the ground floor.
Oh, well, why didn't you say that? Oh, come on, then.
I know what you're thinking. And it's not pronounced like that in German.
Now, Carl Jung, I want you to imagine that you're a steam engine at the head of the overnight train from Freiburg to Vienna.
Woo-woo!
Very good. Well, that's all of them, Hildegard. I'm a born hypnotist.
Raymond, my darling, behold, isn't this beautiful?
Yeah.
Sigmund Freud's most dedicated disciple, the cream of Vienna's psychoanalysts, reduced to gibbering idiots. Look at them. Now, did you find Freud's paper?
Yeah, here it is, Hildegard. I couldn't understand a word of it. His English is unreadable.
That's because it's written in German, you inflatable fleshy fool. Right. It is now time for you to leave Freud's body. Hurry.
I wish they could process it. Didn't want the ego so much.
Just get on with it. I'd like to be gone before that malodorous time janitor gets here and starts swinging his chain.
You're a little late for that, Hildegard.
Conductor, what a pleasant surprise. I was wondering when you'd show up. Oh, and I see you've brought your handsome boyfriend, too. Once again, I'm afraid you've arrived just as we're leaving. Oh, what a shame. We'd have so much to talk about.
I don't think you'll be going anywhere just now. As long as I've got this pointed at you.
Ooh.
No, not that. This.
Hildegard, he's repaired his
nightie. Skirt, Raymond, is transient isolation skirt.
Oh, yeah. Think you can threaten us with a dirndl, do you?
If he pulls the trigger, we'll be sent back to the middle of next week, you bubble-brained booby.
Yes, indeed. Your exploits will be halted.
and this area of time will be properly restored. Bernie, get Freud's paper from Hildegard.
Come on, hand it over, love.
Oh, so Butch. You and I, Bernie. What do you say? You want to play with me, Bernie? It'll be fun. We can travel up and down time. I'll fulfill every fantasy you've ever had.
No, you're twisted.
Pull that trigger, conductor, and this grubby chroma spray will regress Bernie 2 billion years. He's 1 second away from becoming a salamander. Touché, I think, conductor. Come with me, Bernie. I'm your mistress now.
Hildegard, wait. Bernie, it looks like I may not be seeing you for a while. So I popped one of those jars of gentleman's relish into your jacket pocket, in case you get hungry.
Conductor, what's going on?
I thought that was patently obvious, old boy. Hildegard is abducting you, and there's bugger all I can do about it.
I'm so glad you're seeing things my way, conductor.
That paper forms the basis of the greatest advance in communication since humankind first learned to speak. Except now that you have it, of course it doesn't.
Exactly. Now it's just our little secret.
Hildegard, it stinks of cigar smoke in here. What was he doing?
Until the next time, conductor.
Bernie, I won't be far behind. Don't let her talk you into anything. Goodbye, old chap.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and I know what's wrong as well.
Oh, God.
Oh, my head. What happened? Carl Gustav, Wilhelm, Josef, why are you acting so strangely? And Herr Grubermann, what are you doing here?
Herr Grubermann, stand next to me.
What happened? I'll explain in more detail later. I know you cannot see it with your eyes, but, well,
apart from us, everyone here has been frozen in time by me. But first, you have to help me again.
But how can I help you?
You heard Hildegard. She has taken Sigmund Freud's seminal paper on telepathy. And with Raymond's help, she has also ruined him. His intimate circle will never accept him in quite the same way. You could, however, induce a telepathic amnesia so that when I release the emergency button on the interpolator, the last 24 hours of memory will be erased from their minds.
Certainly. If I can do what you ask, I'll be delighted to help. On one condition.
Name it.
Is that you take me with you wherever you go on that inflatable thing you came from, and two conditions.
Oh.
Is that you pay for me to see Madame Dorothy in the blue vine of waffle on the way back. Yeah?
Why? Why?
Because somehow I don't think I'll be seeing her for a long time.
In that episode of The Root Masters by Andrew McGibbon, Amanda Donohoe was Hildegard, Andrew McGibbon was Raymond, Carl Minns was the conductor, Owen Evans was Bernie, Andy Mulligan was Herr Grubermann, Sophie Aldred was Martha, Nick Romero was Carl Gustav, Dan Friedman was Breuer, and Alex Lowe was the voice of the interpolator. Additional material was written by Rob Colley, Kevin Greening, and Julian Mayers. The theme tune was written by Ozzy Temple, and other original music by Nick Romero. The programme was produced and directed by Julian Mayers.